Alright, guys, we got one more speaker from Klingon Christmas Carol. It is its creator and director, and I'm also going to ask him to speak a little bit about the show. It's Christopher Kidder Mostrom. Chris, why don't you tell these fine folks where you can see Klingon Christmas Carol, how you get tickets, and, I mean, it's probably obvious what it's about, but just in case someone's not totally sure yet what it's about.
All right, well, the Klingon Christmas Carol is happening at the Raven Theater up in Edgewater this year, and we're on the small stage for the first time ever. We wrote this show in 2007, and it started as a joke. I run a theater company that's basically supposed to do translated works from other languages into English, but we thought, let's do something for a fundraiser going the other way, into a different language, and we'll do it at the holidays because, you know, it's the end of the fiscal year and we need money. And so we kicked around a few ideas, and one of the thoughts was, let's do Dickens in Pig Latin. There had recently been, in the Minnesota Fringe Festival that year, something called Aixbierge. Mm-hmm. And so we didn't want to look like we were piggybacking on that. The company at that point was located in the Twin Cities, and so we didn't want to look like a copycat. And one of my friends, who was also a board member of the company, threw out, well, let's do it in Klingon. And he thought he was joking. 6 months later, my then-girlfriend and I wrote the first ever full-length play performed in the Klingon language. It still remains the only full-length play. It's not the only one translated, but it is the only one performed. We also have the dubious honor of being the only company to perform a large portion of a Klingon Hamlet on the Star Trek VI Blu-ray. Paramount couldn't find anyone who had performed Hamlet in Klingon because it's something that's 4 hours long in English that most people don't understand that way. And so they thought, well, what the heck, we'll go with these guys that are doing Dickens. And anyway, the play has evolved over the last 8 years into something that now rules my life. But it has also evolved in a wonderful way, relocating to Chicago. We expanded it to an hour and a half. We put in two scenes that we had left out originally. And up from 2007 through last year, it was basically pretty much exactly the same production. Even though we shifted personnel when we relocated cities, it was the same thing, same blocking, same set, same costumes. And then this year we decided, well, hell, we're in a new space. Let's shake it all up. So we got a completely new cast. We overhauled it this year. Completely new costumes. We're doing sort of a steampunk Klingon.
Yes!
Just for you, Sean. We have our first multi-level set. It's really exciting, so I hope you guys come to see it. It's going to be wild and crazy. Our fight choreographer told you his tale about being a Star Trek fan earlier. There are flips galore happening this year. It's unbelievable. So, it opens the 30th of November, runs through the 29th of December. And we even have some late night shows this year on the 14th, 21st, and 28th, which are only $20 as opposed to our normal 30. So, please come and join us for those. We'll also have some wonderful guest stars, which we're arranging right now, who will get to cameo as Klingons as well this year. Yeah. So there's that. So for those of you who know me, and I guess for those of you who don't, you're about to find out. I turn 40 1 week from today. Most of my life's birthdays haven't been important, and honestly, this one isn't either. I measure my time of my life by different things than years. I measure it by when I lived in certain places, because we moved around a lot when I was a kid, and then I haven't really stopped doing that as an adult. And then the other major thing that changed my universe completely was the birth of my daughter. And everything since that time has been according to how old my daughter is at any given point in time. That's my marker. So I was doing a little math over there because I knew how old my daughter was when this happened. And I can now tell you that 7 years and 11 months ago, I killed Roger. Before we go further into that confession, I need to go back to the same age that my daughter was in my timeline. Now, my daughter at that time, when I killed Roger, was 5 and a half. When I was 5 and a half, two major things happened in my life. The first one was my diehard crush on Smurfette. That blonde, blue-eyed, blue-skinned beauty. I got to tell you, in the early 80s, this was specifically 1980, but in 1980, and the subsequent years, and the years on, I guess, immediately preceding, ABC, NBC, and CBS each season put on a special on a Friday night promoting their Saturday night or Saturday morning cartoon lineup. And you could watch the fall lineup come out by staying up late, if your parents let you, to see what was going to come out that fall on the cartoons. And they would do little features, and they got the people from Hanna-Barbera on one of their features. And my mom read the thing in TV Guide that said that this was going to be happening, and she was really excited that I was going to be able to stay up and see the people behind. The people behind the Smurfs. Now, this included the animators. Wide World of Disney was on every week as well, so it wasn't the first time I'd seen animation happen, and so I had no illusions. There was no there was suspension of disbelief. It was not a 5 and a half year old kid really, really believing that these were real. But perhaps self-delusionally, I wanted to believe that Smurfette was real. But my mom knew that I had this interest, and so she let me stay up to watch the preview and watch the special thing about Hanna-Barbera and how they created the Smurfs for America. And they had the voice actors on. And at that point, little Chris's heart crumbled. Because Smurfette was voiced, at that time, by a 67-year-old lady. That didn't have blonde hair. She may have at one point, I don't know. She also, obviously, did not have blue skin, and I couldn't tell if her eyes were blue or not. What was worse was that she doesn't always voice Smurfette. Smurfette sometimes, when she isn't available, was voiced by a man, a middle-aged man, the one who voices Hefty Smurf. Chris's little heart crushed a little bit more. Also that year, well, really I have to backtrack a year or two before that, in fact, 3 years before I was born. So I have no clear recollection of this. But there was a folk music group in the late 60s. They put out a children's album called Peter, Paul, and Mommy. And on that album was their one, number one hit, Puff the Magic Dragon. And when I was 4, I listened to that record over and over again. And Puff had been abandoned by that bastard Jackie Paper. And he had no friends. And so I needed an imaginary friend, and my imaginary friend was Puff. That same year was the year that I lost Smurfette. Was the year that I went to kindergarten. And I didn't really want to play with the other kids. I wanted to play with Puff. And the other kids didn't find that to be okay. They teased me, not surprisingly. And eventually I decided I didn't like that, and so I just discarded and left behind Puff the Magic Dragon, just like Jackie Paper did. That's more bittersweet now, I suppose, than it was at the time. At the time, it was pretty flip. I just See ya. So, when I had my daughter, well, when my ex-wife had my daughter, I had little to do with the actual birthing process. My world changed. My universe changed. My perspective on everything changed. But there are certain promises you make to yourself that you will not do the things your parents did. The movie Spy Kids happened much later. I have no idea when. I just know when my daughter saw it. And she saw it at her preschool, and she was really enamored with it. And we went to Wendy's one day, and the toy in the kids' meal was a little wrist communicator thing, not unlike you would see in Dick Tracy or Star Trek Communicator or that new Google iPhone thing. But anyway, it was her thing, and she thought, in her way, that someone was in there. And she got this from the movie, from Spy Kids, and she thought the guy in there was named Roger. And she would talk to Roger. And she would take orders from Roger, and she would argue with Roger. I, in my, ooh, neat, my daughter's really into this thing, dad thing, I got her walkie-talkies for Christmas when she was 5 and a half. And we waited and really excited for her to open that one so that we could play with her and have her go upstairs, and I'd stay downstairs and talk to her. And she opened it, and she was excited. And then I explained to her how it worked. And I told her that after you understand what I say, say Roger back. And it was at that moment that I watched my daughter go through what I did in kindergarten when my mom took Smurfette away from me and when I threw out Puff the Magic Dragon. And I realized in that moment that I killed Roger and changed her universe forever as well.
You guys, everyone go see Klingon Christmas Carol, listen to Improvised Star Trek. Also, if you have time after those two things, you could come to Nerdlogs, but, you know.